We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
I want to ask you to take your Bibles and go to a passage in the Old Testament. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And most of you will be familiar with the other passage. In fact, it's just one verse. And I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. I think most of you could say it by heart. And we're going to use these passages tonight to sort of set our hearts aright for getting our minds prepared for what is ahead of us. Thanksgiving, being thankful. It was a blessing to hear so many of the things that you are thankful for. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a very common verse. It's one of the verses that most of us as believers know. Most of us as believers have quoted and we say. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you know it, say it with me. Ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I have to tell you that was quite pathetic. Let's try that again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, all right? You can turn there. You can actually look it up if you don't have it memorized. By the way, if you're a Christian, how many of you are a Christian? Would you say amen? That was kind of sad too. How many of you are a Christian? Would you say amen? All right, let's come alive. Now listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you're there, let's all read it together. Ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm going to say this to you, and I hope it doesn't offend you, but it might help you tonight. It might help you tonight. You should have that verse memorized. If you don't, I want to challenge you that before Thanksgiving is over, you will have 1 Thessalonians 5:18 etched on your heart and etched in your memory. Let's say it again. Ready? In concerning you. I want you to understand something tonight. It is God's will for you to be thankful. Pastor Chad in his prayer said something, I don't know if you picked up on it. He said it's unnatural for us to be thankful. It cuts against the grain of our life because most of us naturally are complainers. Now, I think the truth is we live a lifestyle that, well, let's just put it this way. We're all pretty comfortable, aren't we? We're all pretty comfortable. How many of you have a car? How many of you have a phone? How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have a computer? How many of you have central heat and central air? How many of you have indoor plumbing? How many of you have a shower? How many have a toilet? Toilet paper? Amen for toilet paper. A washer? A dryer? A dishwasher? A microwave? Personal hygiene items? How many of you have a bed? Now, everything I just mentioned, none of the 53 pilgrims had on their first Thanksgiving. Think about that, will you? None of the things I just mentioned to you, the pilgrims had access to. Imagine our life without all of these things and then try and think tonight, would you still be thankful? How many of you caught yourself complaining about the rain today? Just admit it. I'm going to put my hand up. We're like, man, my first thought was, Lord, no one's going to come tonight. You know, it's so easy for us to put the emphasis on selfish things, on what we want. The admonition tonight from 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is coming from a man who was imprisoned, who suffered torture, who struggled with ongoing health issues. So many of you were thankful tonight for the health that God has blessed you with. But when the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, in everything give thanks. He was struggling with health. And yet, despite all the adversity and hardship, he says, in everything, give thanks. I think it would be safe to say that clearly God's will for all of us is to be a thankful people. In fact, I'm going to say this tonight. Would you just put your spiritual seatbelt on tonight and say amen? If you are unthankful, you are out of God's will. You are not in God's will. You may be doing a lot of things well, but if you are an unthankful person, you are not right with God. If you are a habitual complainer, a moaner, a grumbler, a whiner, you're not in God's will, because clearly the Scripture is teaching us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Please understand tonight that out of adversity can come thanksgiving. In fact, think of it this way. It was out of the hardships and struggles that the entire setting for Thanksgiving even came about. The Pilgrim's Prayer that Thanksgiving had a statement in it. There's a quote coming onto the screen, and I lifted this simple quote out of one of the prayers that was found that said, "That the Lord may behold us as a people offering praise and thereby," let's say it together, "glorifying Him." That the Lord may behold us as a people offering praise and thereby glorifying Him. But beyond the words of thanks, true thankfulness is reflected in our attitude and in our actions. You can tell a person who is thankful by their attitude and by the way that they act. It is an attitude of what I call gratitude. Gratitude, if you will, is to show a kindness received is valued. To show that a kindness that you have received is valued. The problem that we all have to be aware of is the same problem that the children of Israel had. And if you want to turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 16, they failed to remember the goodness of God. And they grew, listen carefully, friends, they grew accustomed to the blessings. There was an expectancy that they just felt like, God, you've got to deliver on this. And so God knew the tendency of all of us to be unthankful and ungrateful. And so He did something very special and very specific, which I'm going to explain to us in just a moment. But I want to read a few verses out of Deuteronomy 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse 12. So if you're there, would you say amen? "And thou shalt remember," in verse 12, "that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Thou shalt observe to do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles," how many days? 7 days, "after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." And verse 14 says, "Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite." Notice also, you might want to circle this, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely," what, church? When you think about the first Thanksgiving, usually our minds go back to the pilgrims. We think about that day when there was that celebration. But yet, I would remind us that there was another Thanksgiving that took place long before the Thanksgiving that we as Americans call Thanksgiving and celebrate. God had told the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 42 and Exodus chapter 23 and also in Exodus 34 that at the end of the harvest, they were to set aside 7 days, and in those 7 days, they were to dwell in a booth. This booth was to be made out of leaves and sticks and tree branches. We might call it a tent or a shelter. And that time period was called the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Harvest. Now you can imagine how thankful you would be if after 7 days you've been living in a makeshift shelter and you've been around your family and friends for 7 days in a tent. I don't even want to be in a tent for 7 minutes, all right? And so I'm trying to picture myself living outside in this makeshift booth, and for 7 days you were only to eat enough food, just barely enough that was to sustain you, to get you through that time. And the only thing that you were to be thinking about for 7 days, now get this, the only thing that you were really to be dwelling on and thinking about for 7 days was the goodness of God. That was it. So 7 days in a booth with your family and your friends and the strangers and the fatherless and the widows, everybody that was in that area where you lived, your little world, if you will, in a booth for 7 days, and all you're thinking about and barely eating any food is what? God's what, church? God's goodness. Now, it's interesting to know that Thanksgiving in America used to be a 3-day celebration. If you'll go back and study history, you'll find that to be the case, that they had set aside 3 specific days. The children of Israel set up how many days? And how many days do we now set aside? And for some of us, we won't even get through 24 hours of being thankful, and we'll be getting ready for Black Friday. I read today that there's already people sleeping outside of Best Buy. And it really boggles our mind, doesn't it, church? You think, how could anything be that? I mean, you're willing to separate yourself and go camp outside. The people who have the most things to be thankful for now set aside the least amount of time to show gratitude. This time of Thanksgiving for the nation of Israel was set aside for a purpose. It was a time to rejoice and thank God for all that He had done, because here's what God knows, that it's very easy for us to fall into the sin of ingratitude and selfishness and thanklessness. And so I want to simply share with us tonight just a few quick principles. I know it's raining hard. I know we have pie on the brain and we have other things that we're thinking about. But I want to just share with you some things that I believe would be important for us to etch into our hearts and minds as we think about God's will for us this Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving actually is. First of all, number one, Thanksgiving is a time for remembering. Thanksgiving is a time for remembering. It's a time to think back to what God has done for us over this past year. And it was a blessing to hear so many of you talk about all the things that God has done, the things that you're thankful for, and the things that God has really done for you specifically this year in your life. God has given us a memory so that we would not forget what He has done. A memory so that we would not dwell on the negativity of the past. A memory so that we would not wallow in regret. A memory so that we would think about and dwell, and for the nation of Israel, for seven straight days on the goodness of God. Look with me at verse 12. He says, "And you shall remember." This is a command. This isn't a suggestion. He says, "You shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe to do these statutes." You know what He's telling them? Don't ever forget where you came from. Let me translate that. Church, what we should remember tonight is we should never forget that we too used to be someone who was not a Christian, someone who didn't know the love of Jesus Christ, and we too were in bondage to sin. But if you're a believer tonight, you can say amen to the fact that now you've been gloriously saved. Amen? And you've been brought out of that slavery. And so part of this process of remembering is to thank God. Never forget what life used to be like, and never forget where you could be tonight were it not for the grace of God. Number two, Thanksgiving is a time for realignment. Thanksgiving is a time for realignment. I was recently riding in Pastor Chad's car. If you ever ride with Chad or Micah, just put it this way, you're just glad to be anywhere after you get there. And so we were riding in Chad's car, and I noticed there was a shimmy, sort of a shaking in the car. And I said, "Hey, is your car sick?" And he said, "Well, it's got a problem. I don't know what it is." And I said, "Well, does it need a front-end alignment?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "We can't seem to figure out what's wrong, but when I get to a certain speed, it starts moving." Now, some of us know that if we get to a certain speed, we start shaking too, right? I mean, things aren't going well for us. But as I was riding in Chad's car, I was thinking about the fact that many times in our life, just like in a car, when a car is out of balance, the whole car will shake, begins to make strange sounds. I think the truth for us tonight, church, is this. We oftentimes, when our life gets out of balance, we shake. We shake with unnecessary concepts of what we think we need. We shake with worry and fear, and we shake with jealousy at what other people have and we don't. Instead, our lives should be resonating with the sweet sound of a thankful heart, gracious words. And when we're not, we sound like a bunch of grumbling complainers, murmuring and moaning and bad-mouthing and criticizing. You know, I wrote this, that Thanksgiving is a time for realignment in our hearts and minds. It's a time for us to recalibrate and say, "Wait a minute, am I shaking in this area of my life? Am I worried and fearful and consumed with everything I don't have or I want to have, and I seem to start to shake and things don't seem to be right because my life's out of balance?" I love what Lamentations says in Lamentations 3, 4, and 41. It says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." Many of you may not know this man. His name is Martin Reinhart. Martin Reinhart was a Lutheran minister. He was ministering during the time of the Ellenburg, Saxony area. He was inside of the city of Ellenburg during the 30-year war. The Swedish army had surrounded the city, and refugees began to pour into this small little city that was walled. 800 homes were destroyed, and the people began to die. there was a tremendous strain on the pastors who had to conduct dozens of funerals a day, and finally the pastors too had succumbed, and Reinhardt was the only pastor left in this walled city that had been succumbed and surrounded by the Swedish army. At one point he was doing 50 funerals a day. Can you imagine? 50 funerals a day. One of those funerals actually ended up being that of his wife. Finally, the Swedes, they said, "All right, we're demanding a ransom." And Reinhardt left the safety of the walls to go to the Swedish army and plead for mercy. Finally, the Swedish commander was impressed by the faith and courage, and he lowered his demands. And soon afterwards, the 30-year war ended. And Reinhardt wrote a hymn for a grand celebration service. And it is a testament to his faith that after such misery, he was able to write a hymn of abiding trust and gratitude to God. Here's what the hymn says, and these are the words. Listen carefully. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, whose wondrous things has done and whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all of our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in His grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son of Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be." What is the word? "Evermore." Friends, can I just tell us tonight that living a life of gratitude starts with looking at life through the lens of Scripture and not through our own selfish lens. We had a staff meeting on Monday, and I shared with them a devotion about this very topic. And I read to them a new rendition that I found about a year and a half ago, penned to the song, "Come Thou Fount." How many of you know the song, "Come Thou Fount"? We were singing it, "Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It." Somebody took those words and they rewrote the first line, and here's what they said. "Prone to grumbling, Lord, I feel it. Prone to scorn the God I love. Here's my eye, Lord, take and peel it till I see Thy grace above." We're instructed to be thankful in everything. Not for horrible things and hard things, but in them, in those things that are difficult. Just like Martin Reinhardt, just like the great commentator Matthew Henry, who was robbed. After he was robbed, he was relaying what happened to his friends and family, and Matthew Henry said these words, "I'm still thankful though, even though I was robbed." Now, doesn't that boggle your mind to think that after you've been robbed, you'd say, "Well, I'm still thankful"? They said, "How could you possibly be thankful?" Here's what he said. "First of all, I'm thankful that I had never been robbed before." That's good, amen. "I'm thankful that they only took my wallet and not my life." Somebody say amen to that. "I'm thankful that although they took all my money, it was not much. But most of all, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Think about that. We have so much to be thankful for. Number three, Thanksgiving is also a time for relationships. If you will, in the text, you'll notice that twice the Word of God reminds us to gather those around us. In verse 11, he talks about rejoicing with the son and the daughter and the manservant and the maidservant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. And he repeats the whole thing again in verse 14. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. And here's what I want us to understand tonight. That God puts a high premium on relationships, church. God wanted them to celebrate this special time with family and friends. And this is a time to come close to the ones that we love and those that we hold dear to our hearts. We need to look around, church. Look around at all of the people that God has brought into your life. And you need to learn to do something. You need to learn to express gratitude to them. Teach it to your children when they're young. Teach them to appreciate people. We need to be a people of personal relationships. Paul would often list his friends and he would say, I remember you and I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. If you ever go into my office, you will notice that on one of my bookshelves I have, on several of them actually, that's not true, on almost all of them, I have quite a few little things, trinkets and little things that people have given me over the years. And each one of those little things that is sitting there has a story and has a name of somebody or someone that gave something to me. And when I look at that and I think of that, I think about that person who gave that to me. And my heart is reminded of the goodness that God had given to my life through that individual, whatever it was. And it's a remembrance that I have, and I keep all of those things, and all over my office are all kinds of little things that I look at, and it causes me to do something oftentimes, which is just to say, thank you, Lord, for those people. Thank you, Lord, that you brought them into my life. Thank you for letting me have such wonderful friendships. And perhaps tonight you say, well, Pastor, I just feel kind of alone. I don't feel like I have a lot of people in my life. I don't feel like I have a lot of people around me. I've been through some tragedy. I've experienced some things, and I feel cut off. Yet I would submit to you, look around you, and you will discover that there is someone in your life that God has provided for you. And Thanksgiving is a time to thank God for them and to go to them and embrace them. And for some of you tonight, it would be a very good, healthy thing if before you walked out of this building, you would go up to someone and look them in their eyes and say, I want you to know I love you. And I appreciate you, and hug them and say, I thank God for you. It'd be a good thing for some of us. Galatians chapter 6 says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Gratitude says three things. I will, first of all, number one, I will speak my appreciation. I will speak it to you. I will tell you. Number two, I will show my appreciation. And number three, I will share my appreciation, especially to those whom I'm closest, because it's so easy for us to take for granted those with whom we are most familiar with, our friends, our family, our loved ones. Developing an attitude of gratitude reminds us to show our love and appreciation for the people that God has placed around us in our life. And then number four, Thanksgiving is a time for rejoicing. In verse 11, if you look in the text, verse 14, look in the text, verse 15, God is telling them to do something. He's telling them to do what? Rejoice. Rejoice. It's clear from the text and other teachings and scriptures that we are to be a joyful people, especially as we celebrate this holiday. In fact, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and let's say it together, and again I say, rejoice. Now, I know that sometimes we're not very happy people. You say, how do I know? You should stand up here and take a look at what I see some weeks and think, wow, maybe this is the last place on earth you'd want to be if the facial expressions are anything to judge by. But the reality is this, when you are celebrating tomorrow Thanksgiving or Thursday when you are celebrating Thanksgiving, remember that part of Thanksgiving is for you to be happy. How many of you know that sometimes when you're around your family and friends, it can be a bit of a challenge to be happy the whole day through? Say amen to that, okay? And maybe you're going to watch football, and your team's going to be on, and your team's probably going to lose, maybe, I don't know, and you're going to not be happy. Listen, don't let a bunch of overpaid, sweaty thugs ruin your Thanksgiving, amen? It's not going to matter, okay? What matters most is who you're sharing that holiday with and what you're saying to each other. And carving out time mentally, spiritually, emotionally, relationally to rejoice with what you've been given by God. And then, lastly, Thanksgiving is a time for responding. If you look in the text, verse 17, it says, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee. This verse is reminding us and reinforcing to us a biblical principle that we have been blessed to be a blessing. We are to have open hearts and open hands. You see, let me just say this to us tonight. True gratitude is a desire to want to help others. It says, I want to help. I want to be a blessing. I'm so thankful to be in a church when I look out, and I know many of our folks are not here tonight, but I look at many of you and I know that deep within your heart there's a desire for you to want to help. You step up into ministries and you serve and you say, I want to be a blessing. Just remember this, that gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. Never forget that. Just ask yourself this question. When was the last time Many of you are not taking notes, but maybe you'll remember this tonight. When was the last time you did something good for someone for the first time? When was the last time you did something good for someone for the first time? How many of you believe it's more blessed to give than receive? A lot of God's people, unfortunately, have not turned into givers, but you know what we've turned into? Receivers. We've turned into receivers. God wants us to be a conduit through which blessings flow, not a cul-de-sac to which we collect everything and hoard it to ourselves. So Thanksgiving is a time for responding. And I told you I was on my last point, but I truly am now, all right? Thanksgiving is a time for reflecting. Always be aware that no matter what we don't have, we have more to be thankful for than we could have ever imagined. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's say it together, it'll be on the screen for us. Ready? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me give you perspective before I pray. Some statistics that might help reinforce everything I've tried to say tonight. Number one, if you own one Bible, you are blessed because one-third of the population do not have access to one Bible. If you have more health than sickness, you are blessed because 1 million people will not live to see the end of the week because of illness. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of more than 500 million people around the world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a place to live, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or any loose change, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. And if you can lift up your head and open your mouth and give praise to God for all that He has done, then you are in a minority because most people choose not to. Church, I would warn us tonight, let's not get accustomed to the blessings. Let's not allow ourselves to become ungrateful for the things that God has given us. Let's realign our hearts and minds. Let's remember on Thursday to be truly grateful, that we would thank God for the relationships, that we would show those around us that we love them, that we would take time to rejoice in all the things that God has done for us, and that we would take every opportunity to respond and be a chance to be a blessing to those who God has brought into our life.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.